Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on Para-X Radio.
This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, Kurt Smith here, telling you to listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio, Friday evenings, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio. I'm Gil, your host. Sarah Jane, my wife, is sitting in the chat room. She's taking the questions tonight. We've got a great guest on. I've got a few announcements to make, especially concerning Para-X and the new shows that are coming on. We've got the Morning X with Mike Lear that's starting in a few weeks, and that'll be every weekday morning, I believe, from, don't quote me on the time, but I think 9 in the morning Eastern. They'll be bringing you a lot of great paranormal programming. We also will have the new Para-X International, which we'll be happy to be a part of here in England. And I understand there's another paranormal group from Mexico that's also going to be broadcasting. So simultaneously with Para-X, there will be Para-X International. And one more announcement I want to make is Rusty from Haunted Down Under. And everybody knows about the horrible fires they had in Australia. There's a link on Para-X site for fire relief, and if you also go to www.haunteddownunder.com, you can help out any way that you can. You can make donations and help out the people that have lost their homes and, of course, families that have lost loved ones there, which was a terrible tragedy. But tonight's guest is medium John Wadham, and we're happy to have him with us tonight. John is one of the most well-respected and gifted clairvoyant, clairsentient, and clairaudient mediums working in the UK today. And John has very strong beliefs in mind, body, and spirit, and he believes that they are all part of the same system and not separate entities. John also competed in the 2004 British Natural Bodybuilding Federation qualifier, where he went on to win his class and picked up a winner's trophy. Good evening, John. You with us tonight?
Good evening.
Thanks so much for joining us. I know we had to postpone our last interview, but we're really happy you could make it with us tonight, and thanks for coming on board with us.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here tonight.
Great. We appreciate it. Why don't we start at the beginning and tell us a bit about how you discovered you had a gift and how that came about.
Well, the very beginning, it takes me right back to Scotland, where I was born, and in a little village in Dumfriesshire called Killahome. Mm-hmm. And my earliest recollection of being aware of spirits is around the age of around four, when I actually used to see faces build up on the wall in my bedroom when I used to go to bed.
No kidding.
And, pardon?
I'm sorry, I just said no kidding. That's interesting.
Right. And I can remember being quite frightened, and you know, it was a little bit disturbing then actually at that age. And I used to cry out, and my mum used to come up and used to comfort me. Mm-hmm. And that's my earliest call of being aware of spirit. And from there, I was always aware of. Yeah, I was aware of spirit right up and through into my teens, and I always knew there was somebody there, and always like around 15, 14, 15, sending me prayers out. I used to do that on an evening. More so when I was probably getting into a little bit of trouble than that, because I was a bit of a scallywag when I was a young boy. And, you know, when I'd get sent to my room,
right.
You know, I was always aware of something around me or someone around me. And I probably used to send my thoughts out to get me out of the trouble kind of thing, you know. That kind of thoughts would have been going through my mind at that age.
Did your parents, do they had psychic abilities too?
My mum is very aware of spirit. She has a good sense. She doesn't work with spirit in the sense as like I go out and demonstrate my mediumship. Mm-hmm. And I have an auntie in Scotland, or had an auntie, she's passed on now. She was like one of the local mediums in the village of Sanka, which was the next village to Killahome. And, you know, there was people in and out of the house all day, every day, having little readings.
Uh-huh.
And quite bizarre, I was just talking about her yesterday. It was my gran passed away last Friday.
Oh, did you?
And so there was quite a few relatives from Scotland at the funeral yesterday. We was speaking about her mediumship, and you know, all the village used to come along if they got some issues wanted resolving, and there was always somebody in, and they used to say, "I'm just going for a cup of tea to Aunt Holland's," and they used to go and have a cup of tea. And she actually used to link through the tea and through the tea leaves.
No kidding.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
And that's actually quite nice to speak about, because as I'm speaking about her, I'm quite aware of her now.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to ask you.
Yeah, I'm quite aware of her. What a lovely lady she is. And it still is. I know she's not here in body, but she's here in spirit.
Oh, that's...
And, she's just absolutely wrapping me up with a lot of love at this time, actually.
Oh,
it's nice.
That's good. That's good to hear. It's comforting, isn't it?
It is very comforting. Yes. You know, and yesterday, what a lovely funeral, celebrating my grand's years and my grand's life in the physical.
Right.
And knowing that, you know, she's in spirit now, out of pain and out of discomfort, and back to her normal chippery chatter herself, I suppose, really. If I could just mention something, actually,
sure.
About my gran. She passed away last Friday.
Uh-huh.
And at 2:30, I got a call from my brother saying, you know, your gran's ready for passing. Do you want to come along to the nursing home where she was living? And so I've set off, and I'm in the car with my partner, Tina. And on the hands-free, obviously.
Right.
And while we're driving. And then he's phoned about 20 minutes later and said that she'd passed.
Oh.
And within 10 minutes after that, I phoned my mum just to see how she was doing, and she was on the way to the home.
Right.
And as I was talking to my mum, I was, again, very aware of my gran, and, you know, she came through and she sent her love to my mum, and you know, she was making me aware that she was with my granddad as well, uh-huh. and with her son, my uncle, who passed at a very early age as well. And I thought, you know, all this was in like half an hour,
wow.
passed over, and then, you know, she's linking to me.
No kidding.
I thought, absolutely amazing. And it was phenomenal. What a lovely, lovely experience.
I bet. I've never experienced anything like that. I don't have any gift that I'm aware of. Sarah Jane does, obviously, like we were talking about earlier.
But, yeah.
I've talked to a lot of mediums before, and most of them that I've talked to, they discovered they had some sort of gift when they were young, about the same age as you. And the other ones I spoke to, something traumatic happened in their life, and all of a sudden they realized they had a gift. Do you find that's the case with a lot of psychics?
I do find that's the case, yes. I've spoke to the different medium sensitives that, you know, over a number of years, and people have been aware of spirit from a child, and others have been aware of spirit through some kind of experience. You know, it might be a loved one passing on, mm-hmm. or something personal to them. I'll share a little insight of myself, really. I don't really disclose this, but you know, I feel like I'll disclose this evening. I was aware of spirit from a very early age. Mm-hmm. I really got involved with working with spirit around, you know, the age of 27. I had a kind of breakdown. I ended up in a little unit where I was diagnosed with psychosis.
Really?
And I was in there for 12 weeks. I was seeing things, hearing things, and feeling things
uh-huh.
very vividly, and it frightened me. And I went to the doctors, and they referred me to a psychiatric unit. And I stayed in there for 12 weeks. And they gave me medication and all sorts and said it was an induced psychosis.
Excuse me.
And while I was in there, I was having some key working sessions mm-hmm. With one of the key workers there. And I was explaining my experiences. And he said to me, why don't you go to the Spiritualist Church? So I did. And I went to the Spiritualist Church and I met a lovely lady
mm-hmm.
called Beryl Norris. And from then on, she taught me the mechanics of mediumship, taught me how to control my thoughts, because it comes through thoughts,
right.
you know, thoughts are living things, it's consciousness it comes through.
Uh-huh.
And from meeting that lady around the age of 27, my mediumship really, really grew and gave me lots of balance uh-huh. in my life and lots of control. So I've had both ends of the spectrum, really. I've had it from a child, then I had a personal experience, if you like,
right.
later on in life, what really opened the doors to spirit for me.
And so she helped you develop your gift then?
Helped me develop it. I sat in her own circle for 4 years.
Wow.
Every Tuesday night
mm-hmm.
from 8 while 10 o'clock for 4 years.
No kidding.
In a private circle, which, you know, would be in the old seance rooms, and the husband used to sit in the cabinet. And we used to have the table there, we had the trumpet on there, and we used to get, you know, some phenomena. You know, the trumpet would move slightly, the table would move, we'd get raps, we'd get taps, and he would sit for what is called transfiguration.
Right.
And where we'd put the red light on, and that's where the light would be on his face, and different people would channel him, overshadow him, and you could actually start to see people build up on his face, and it's called the ectoplasm,
uh-huh.
and you start to see different forms and different people, you know, start to build up, Indians, old people, grandparents, you know, going back, I was aware of my granddad coming through, one of my inspirers and one of my helpers, I was aware of him coming through as well. So that experience at 27 and being connected to Beryl Norris, that really opened my doors to mediumship. And I'm really pleased I ended up in the hospital. If I didn't end up there, I probably wouldn't be where I am now within my life, you know, because big life changes happened for me then.
Sure.
It really put me on the straight and narrow. It helped me to get into the job that I'm doing now
mm-hmm.
and meet some great people. And share my thoughts with people who have similar thoughts and beliefs.
Sarah Jane, she's experienced that. Was it transfiguration?
Yes.
at the Spiritualist Church. I've never seen it, but she just tells me it's amazing to actually see in person, that you have to see it to believe it, really.
It is, yes. It's phenomenal. I've sat for it myself as well. I've sat in a small group. I used to have my own regular group on a Friday evening, and I used to sit for it myself. And the sitters afterwards would tell me what they'd seen, or they would describe what they're seeing as they're actually watching it. You know, and the more you talk to spirit, the more they give you.
That's what we refer to as channeling, pretty much, isn't it?
That's right, channeling. Yes.
Now, I also know that you very strongly believe in the mind, body, and spirit all together as a whole. And I know with your bodybuilding and things like that. Do you want to elaborate a little more on that?
Mind, body, and spirit. Absolutely. My body, I look as if my body is a temple, and you know, it needs looking after, it needs nourishing, it needs exercising, it needs conditioning. As much as your mind, it needs nutrition, it needs exercising, it needs conditioning through the job I do through the day. I get that. I work with people with substance misuse issues, and I work within the criminal justice system.
I see.
And it's like out of crime and into treatment. So we challenge a lot of people to look at where they want to be. And when you're looking at where you want to be and you're challenging yourself, you know, you're working on yourself, you're developing other thoughts, you're creating a positive mental attitude. Mm-hmm. And that's where the mind comes into the body. And then the soul around mind, body and soul is around my beliefs, my spiritual beliefs, getting in touch with that higher part of myself, that higher consciousness.
Do you think... Go ahead.
And, you know, it is all part of the same system, because I am a system, and it has an effect on each other.
Right.
You know, the mind has an effect on the body. The body has an effect on the mind. The higher consciousness, the soul, has effects on the mind-body.
Mm-hmm.
So it all knocks onto each other. So why you're working on one is actually addressing other parts of yourself as well.
I see, that makes sense.
We're all one system, aren't we?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's my perception, and that's my belief.
Right. Now, do you feel that your psychic gift helps you in the work that you do?
Absolutely, totally. It really helps me. It helps me to develop that, you know, that rapport with that person. And my beliefs gives me that unconditional positive regard with that person as well, and allows me to give them that space to be where they want to be.
Right.
And, you know, I have a sense of where the session is going, and my inner self, and my higher self, and my gut feelings allow me to, at times, guide the person to where they need to be. Because we all need a little bit of guidance in life, not just within the substance misuse field, not just within counselling, just in general anyway. You know,
sure.
We have a lot of advice and information from people from a child to an adult, don't we?
Right. I imagine you can pick things up on people that they might be too embarrassed or afraid to tell you.
I do, yes. Especially afraid to tell me. Maybe it's something around what they probably need to have done. I mean, we work with a lot of people who use heroin, and you know they're injecting it, IV users. So you know, the amount of issues around screening for HIV or for hepatitis C, you know, and you know, I have a good sense of maybe they need to have this test, they need to clear things up, or they need to get into some other form of treatment to support where they are.
Right, I got you. Now, you know, most psychics use spirit guides. You call them inspirers.
Inspirers, yeah.
And you have three, is that correct, that work with you?
I do, yes. Yes, I have Mary, Zyron, and Chun.
Huh. And you've known they were your inspirers since you were quite young.
Yeah, very aware of Mary through... Reflecting back now, I the sense is it was Mary when I was a child. And that sense has come through my communication with her.
I see.
So that's how I know that it was her when I was a child around me.
Now, do the three give you... excuse me, sorry about that. Do the three give you different information? I've talked to other mediums. You know, they have one spirit guide that gives them information on a certain aspect, and a different spirit guide gives them other information. Is that the way it is with you?
It is, actually, yes. Yeah. Zyron tends to work with me more with my mental mediumship when I'm out demonstrating, doing shows and working in the spiritualist churches up and down the country. Mary, you know, comes around me when I need settling, maybe when I feel a little bit anxious, when I've got some little internal issues going off there. She's a great settler, and great at giving advice and support and make me see things more clearer at that time than probably what I'm thinking, or make it, allowing me to see it a bit clearer, taking, you know, the mist away from what's in front of me at that time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
And Sean, again, as I'm very aware of Sean at the moment, you know, a lot of healing energy comes through this chat. Very philosophical. Yes, very, very philosophical. Gives me different thoughts and ideas about reality, about the perception of reality, which reality is only your perception of how you choose it to be.
Right.
And so it takes me on a quite a metaphysical kind of approach. We create our own reality. Where we are today is through our thoughts.
Sure. Do they all come through at different times, or do they come through together?
Well, I'm aware of all three of them as we're talking, which is quite appropriate. And I would expect, really thinking about it, for them to be here at the moment. And in fact, you know, my colleague here, Angus, who organises everything for me, I'm very aware of the room we're in at the moment. It's just alive with energy.
It's
phenomenal, you know. I'm aware that my heart's racing a little bit, which it does when spirit draw very close to me. And I'm feeling quite, my words, quite wired. I get quite excited with it, quite positive. And, you know, when I'm working, I'm full of life and energy.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Which, you know, that's what I tap into. That's what makes me tick. It's a lovely experience. It's a lovely gift to involve or in unwrap within myself, and which I have done to support me through my life.
I can imagine. Now you do a lot of shows, especially recently, don't you?
Yes.
Is that giving readings to people, you know, from a stage?
Yes. Over the last 9 months, for the last 10 or 12 years, I've worked up and down the country within spiritualist churches.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 9 months, I've started promoting my own shows, putting my own events on.
I see.
And which, you know, we're starting to get some good response and some good turnouts for people. And, you know, it's just making people aware of, you know, life is eternal. We lose, you know, the physical, but the spirit lives on. And it's nice to be connected back to your loved ones again and knowing that they are around us. And my job as a medium is to just give that person that little bit of proof, that little bit of evidence.
Right.
That life is eternal and that we are. And we do live in spirit, and we move on.
Do you think we come back? Do we reincarnate?
Well, I had this conversation on Tuesday. Somebody asked me that. Same question. Do you think we reincarnate?
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, my experience through conversation and my own inner thoughts and beliefs supported from my inspirers, I believe certain individuals do come back, and they have that choice whether they want to come back or not. And the more I look at this, and the more I think about it, the more I research it within myself, with connecting to spirit, I believe, you know, I've probably been here myself prior to this experience. Nothing special, just, you know, a normal Joe Bloggs in another reality, learning lessons of life.
Right.
And just getting that little bit further on within myself, you know, a little bit further up the ladder. And that, you know, I do believe we're here for an experience to learn lessons. I know that sounds a bit corny, and you hear say that, but and when I first started getting involved in spiritualism and going to the churches, I used to hear this lesson here and lesson there, and I used to say, I'm fed up at this lesson here and lesson there. The more I work with it, the, you know, just through the ages, just maturing within myself. Yeah, it's about lessons. It's about growing. It's about developing. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's, I mean, every medium I've spoke to, that they all say the same thing. We're all here to learn everything.
I was quite a resistant medium at the beginning.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Why is that?
Just around lessons of life, really. I suppose, that reflecting back on that, that's only through my own experiences and my own choices I had prior to 27. You know, I was, again, a little bit of a wild boy, a little bit of a scallywag, a bit of a Jack the Lad. And then, you know, the door's open to what I do now, and, you know, life is absolutely nothing like it was. Nothing at all. You'll have to read me book one day.
Oh, do you have a book out?
I will have a book out, yeah, within the next 18 months, 2 years. There'll be a little John Wotton book explaining and going in a little bit more depth to where I've been in life, you know, and other experiences.
Oh, great.
And so
I want to tell our guests your website is www.mediumjohnwotton.com.
That's correct.
It's also on our Soul Seekers news feed, which is on the bottom of our homepage. And I'm sure when your book comes out, it'll be all over your website.
Yes, yes.
Great.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting book. It'll be an enjoyable book, you know. And it's just about turning the corner, turning pages in life, you know. And each one will just have a little reflection of how you get to the next stage. Because I can really reflect back now and map my life out from page to page to page. Why that happened, why that decision was there, what did that create? How did that allow that to happen? Well, this is why it allowed to happen. You know, it's, yeah, it'll be a well-plotted journey, really.
Do you think Do you think everything that happens in our lives is fate?
I think everything what happens in life is through your own decisions.
Yeah.
You know, I totally believe, you know, your thoughts are living things. You know, your thoughts go out. And it's thoughts, living things, it's an energy, it goes out. Thoughts produce things, don't they? Everything around us has come from a consciousness, it's come from thought.
Right.
You know, the internet we're on tonight, somebody's thought about it, you know, and it's coming to reality. You know, people listening to it, listening to their houses or their offices, the settees, their office furniture, everything, the building they're in has come from a thought and it was created.
Well, that's very true.
Thoughts absolutely create everything. Hospitals, everything. Doctors, nurses, psychologists, mediums, it's all there. You can be and do anything you want to do. You just got to believe to achieve.
All right. That's good. Good philosophy. We're going to take a quick break here, probably about 4 minutes or so. We're speaking to medium John Wadham. I'll remind everybody that if they have any questions, they can ask through the chat room. Please don't go away, and we'll be right back.
For all the latest news in the paranormal world, listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio live on Para X every Friday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. London time. That's 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwen speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you would like to be a guest on Soul Seekers Radio, visit our website or contact us at soulseekers@ntlworld.com.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
When a child is abducted, every second counts. That's why this station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System, helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet broadcasting community and this station.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody, to Soul Seekers Radio. I just wanted to say that last song was The Chieftains, obviously from Ireland, and that was dedicated to my wife, Sarah Jane, whose mother passed away 13 years ago tonight, and she came from Cork City, Ireland, so we just wanted to play that for her. And tonight we're speaking with medium John Wadham, ordinary guy, extraordinary medium. Hi, John, you back with us?
Hello, Gil.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
You're welcome.
I want to talk a little bit about the paranormal, if we can.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
I know you've gone with some other ghost hunting groups.
Yes.
Do you enjoy doing that, going on the ghost hunts?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. And I'm looking forward to doing quite a lot more, actually. We're just in the process of setting some up, Angus and myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm really, really interested in the paranormal and getting there and having the experiences and going with groups as well and allowing them to have the experience and, you know, to have a little bit of a fright as well, if you like, a little bit of mischievousness within myself. So I'm really, really into the paranormal and, you know, going to different places with lots of history and what I've had experiences there yourself, you see, and unlocking doors and finding out what's really driving these experiences and why, really.
Have you had much success on some of the investigations?
The experiences I've had have been very, very minimal, really. Uh-huh. But I know later on, Angus, like I said, is just going in the process of sorting some good ones out for us, which at the moment we're not just going to say where they are,
right?
Because we're in the just process of linking with people and organising things. Uh-huh. But we've got some really, really, if I could say, spooky ones going to be coming on the horizon, really. And I'm really looking forward to being there as the medium.
Well, you're always welcome to come along with us. We'd love to have you come along on an investigation with us.
I would love to. That would be absolutely fantastic. We'll have to grab some details later.
Yeah, well, definitely. Definitely. We like having mediums come around. Sarah Jane, you know, she's sensitive and she picks things up for us. But you're clairaudient, clairsentient, and clairvoyant.
That's correct. All three.
So you can see, hear, and sense them.
That's right, yes. Yeah, which is, you know, for me to have clairaudience, clairsentience, and clairvoyance, you know, I feel quite honoured, really. As much as I believe that we can all develop our mediumship, I do believe spirit has that little bit of control, what gives you that little bit more. So I feel quite privileged to have that, actually, bestowed on me, really, from spirit. Again, to have the three senses when I'm out demonstrating, it makes my job a little bit easier.
Sure.
Especially, it makes it a little bit easier to give that evidence to people, really.
Is there any times when you just don't pick up anything, don't sense anything or see anything?
Yeah, I've had experiences. I've got a little story for you, actually. When I was within the Beryl's group, not in the Tuesday night group, we within the open circle in the church, when we was developing our mediumship. First stage, I'm thinking, you know, am I making this up? You know, is it me? Is it spirit?
Right.
And so I've gone up, it was my turn to go up onto the rostrum, and she always made you go up onto the rostrum, even though you were just training, and you'd be working from the platform in the church. And I'd give her some evidence and some information to one of the sitters, and then I'd come back down, and I sent a thought out. I thought, right, is this me, or is it spirit? And I said it to Beryl, and she says, well, get back up then. and I got no information at all.
Really?
I had no words. I'm like, I had nothing. I didn't hear, I didn't see, I didn't feel. Well, I felt like, oh. And I had a feeling as if it had been taken away from me.
Oh, I bet.
And I felt so, so lost, sad. I'm like, wow. And I can remember walking off the rostrum, mm-hmm. and I went back and sat in the circle. And the spirit said to me, "You think you're making it up now, then?"
Yeah. So that's a little experience that I'll never forget that. And especially around the feeling of where I felt I wasn't linking to spirit anymore.
Right.
Because it gives me so much balance and harmony within myself and inner peace. And believe me, over the last 9 months I've needed that. I feel quite privileged really and honoured with that.
I can imagine. Because a lot of times, as you know, ghost hunting, there's plenty of times that we don't ever pick up any evidence or, you know, Sarah Jane doesn't sense anything. And you know, that happens quite often. It's interesting that a medium such as yourself, sometimes that happens to also.
Yeah, we went to an event in Leeds and went to a theatre, and I didn't pick anything. Well, there was one or two things, but not a lot, and there was supposed to be a lot of history there. There was supposed to be a lot happening, but, you know, I wasn't picking anything, not a great deal. I was aware of energies and things, but nothing really concrete and... I've got a little bit of transfiguration there. Angus is just making me aware of. He said, well, there's some transfiguration. I like lots of bangs and raps and taps and strongly overshadowed. I like that. And, you know.
Do you ever get scared when, you know, a spirit comes through, whether you see it or hear it? Does it ever startle you?
I was working in a spiritualist centre in Scarborough. And I was demonstrating in this hall, and the church, bless them, they haven't got their own church, and they hire a hall, and I think it's on a Tuesday evening, and it's got a bit of history, this hall and the building next door to it. And as I'm working, I was aware of a gentleman who took his own life. He actually hung himself, and you know, he drew that close to me. You know, I had to stop demonstrating. Because I couldn't break the link with him, and he was stopping me from linking to anybody else, and I just had to like sit down through my demonstration I couldn't carry on. And I felt a little bit frightened and a little bit anxious, because I was very aware of him, and for about an hour, you know, he was just there with me, and I felt a little bit anxious and a little bit frightened then.
I can imagine. Do you think people feel a little bit let down in the audience when that happens?
I can imagine there would be feeling a little bit let down. I mean, they've come there, haven't they, and hoping to be linking to the loved ones, and John's come along and I've done half a show, and and then I'm like, can't carry on because of this. this sense of the spirit would not stand back, but, you know, my inspirers needed to do what they needed to do to clear the door, you know, and lo and behold, an hour later, I was fine, and I've been back there, and I've demonstrated very, very, very well for them, actually. But, you know, I think there's a lesson in there, you know, there's a lesson in there.
Sure.
I haven't worked out what it is yet, but I'm quite sure there is one. We have them all the time, don't we, Gil?
Yeah, we sure do.
just sneak up and bite you on the bum, don't they?
A question I often ask to mediums, what do you say to skeptics? There's a lot of skeptical people out there about...
They believe what they want to believe. And I'm fine. You know, a skeptic will look for evidence not to believe in it.
Sure.
And that's okay. You know, I used to really fight my corner, you know, and I used to really say, no, it's this, and I don't now. I don't give it any energy. You know, there's people out there, they want to disbelieve in it, that's fine.
You're not out to prove to the world that...
No, I'm just there to go to places where there's like-minded people, where we want to share this like-minded thought, you know, and create an abundance of energy through what we're linking into, and love, I mean, through the energy that we're linking into. And, you know, give them the sitter there, the proof that the loved one is there, because the majority of them, 99% of them, do believe, otherwise they wouldn't be there.
Exactly.
And, or they've got hope, you know, and I want to support that hope and, you know, give them that little bit of comfort there, give them allowance to experience their memories again, you know, really get their emotions
And you strongly believe like attracts like.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you're positive.
Absolutely. Like attracts like.
And if you have a lot of negative in your life, things are going to be negative for you, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You move towards and become what you think about.
Sure.
You know, thoughts produce feelings. Feelings produce behaviors, and you attract that like-mindedness. You know, it's like the sea, isn't it? The tide goes out and it comes in. If your thoughts are the tide going out, then it comes back in. You know, it either fetches you something nice, you know, a nice big fish while on the beach, you can eat it, or it'll fetch you some driftwood. you get what you think about.
Are you also precognitive?
Yeah.
Predict things. Hello? Or see things before they happen?
Yes, I do, yes. Yeah. I'm quite... Yes, and just lately as well, you know, around my grand passing and my stepfather a couple of years ago, and I knew roughly when there was going to be passing, and especially experiences that I've gone through at work as well, change and all that at work. And if I could just say hello to one of my colleagues who I believe is listening, Beth Cryer.
Oh,
I'd just like to say hello to Beth, who's an excellent substance misuse worker and gives a lot of people support and guidance and inspiration to move on to where they want to move on to within their lives.
Oh, that's great.
You don't have to, you know, as much as I use my mediumship, you know, there's people out there who, you know, are just genuine people who just want to support people in life, isn't there?
Right.
And she's one of them.
Now, you help people in other ways, too. You do life coaching and personal training.
That's correct. I have five private clients within the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And we do body conditioning, and a lot of that's through boxing. I do the boxing on the pads, a little bit of sparring, not so much now because I'm 42 years old and I don't look good with black eyes. I've got a few pictures around where I'm stood with people and got black eyes. It's not good for me. I've been in the gym tonight with a client, 61 years old, the fittest client I've got. He's had open heart surgery.
Really?
And he's, yeah, super fit. He did 12 3-minute rounds on the pads this evening, 61, and by the end of the 12th round, he'd got a crowd round him watching him, couldn't believe that a 61-year-old's just done 12 3-minute rounds.
That's great.
So, you know, and again, you know, that's supporting people in body, in sure. mind, strength to get through. The 12 threes, you know, and toning his body, it's tremendous. Again, you know, then at work, it's the life coach when I have my private clients around, helping people to get where they want to be in their life.
Right. You know? Do you help other mediums develop, or people that, you know, want to become more of a medium, do you help them develop their abilities?
Yeah, I've supported people... around the mediumship and their development. I did, like I said earlier, I had my home circle that I used to have on a Friday evening myself, which is not running at the moment because of commitments and how things are just taking different direction at the moment. I've supported people to move on. And one of my life coaching clients, actually, it's actually turned into that little bit. It's around developing her mediumship and her own sensitivity, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she wants to be out demonstrating her mediumship. It's just more for her own personal gain, really. And fulfilling that part of her life, what she wants to work on and wants fulfillment to, really.
So do you think everybody has psychic ability, but just a lot of us don't know how to use it?
I do. I believe that everybody has the capability of linking to spirit. Some are just a little bit more attuned than other people because they've gone out, they've worked on it, they've developed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a muscle, you know. The more you work it, you know, it gets a little bit thicker and it gets a little bit stronger. And that's what happens when you're linking with spirit. The more you do it, the stronger the link becomes. The more you build the energy up to allow you to have that time, you know, to be able to link for an hour or... You know, link for an hour and a half, or to sit in a seance room for, you know, for 2 hours.
Right.
The more you do it, the stronger it gets. But I totally believe, you know, we all have a spirit, we all have a higher consciousness, and it's all connected to the greater consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I believe we're all connected. We're all connected to the one, really, to the whole. We're all part of it.
Right. Now, you also excuse this cough, sorry. You're also a Reiki practitioner.
Yes, I've done my Reiki 1 and Reiki 2. And around my healing, I tend to do more absent healing than that now. And it might be when I've been at work and working with some clients, and I'll just be, you know, thinking about them on the way home, and I'll send them some healing or, you know, some friends or no, even some just even when I'm driving down the road and I've seen an accident, I'll send some healing, I'll send some thoughts. So if I'm seeing it on the television, I do hands-on, and you know, but not as much as I used to do.
Uh-huh.
It's more thought-sending healing, you know, distant healing, absent healing.
Because that all boils down to, you know, the universal life force, and
absolutely,
all part of the one energy, like you said.
Yeah, and you know, I totally believe that we're connected to it all the time. Again, through, you know, life, what we do in life, our jobs, our roles in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our consciousness is more in that rather than the here and now, rather than the thinking about tomorrow, yesterday, next week, next year. You know, how often are we in the now?
Right.
How often are we, you know, being aware of where we are, being aware that we're where we are, where we stood or where we sat. We're not even aware, you know, people live for tomorrow, don't they, or
sure.
Yesterday or for next week.
Right.
Not everybody, but, you know, it's around us all the time. And it's just the thought away. It's the thought what produces the link.
Exactly.
And we just think about where we are and think about what we want, you know.
So are you still going to Spiritualist Church? Do you still appear?
I do. I'm very busy within the Spiritualist Churches. And I always will be, as much as doing my own events and my own shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a Spiritualist. I have strong principles and beliefs. And I will always serve the churches. Tomorrow night I'm in Nottingham. Sunday I'm in York. So most weekends I'm somewhere.
And people can find out where you're at on your website, obviously.
They can, yes. Not all the dates are on the website, but the majority of them are on.
And that's
As I'm just being informed, they will be on. So, Angus is at the side of me. They will be on, he's saying.
And your website's www.mediumjohnwadham.com. And they can also contact you and book you if they'd like on your website, too.
That's correct. If people want any events... You know, we'll come and do events. Charity events, we're doing quite a lot of charity events for people if they've got good causes.
Oh, yeah.
We will come along and we'll do them a show and support any causes and they want to support, you know.
That's excellent. Tell us a little bit about, we've got a few minutes, about your bodybuilding competition you were in.
Right, in 2004, I used to own a gym in a place called Gould, and a flyer came through the door. And it said, wannabe bodybuilders. And I've just snapped my Achilles tendon after playing rugby.
Ouch.
And I thought, I need a focus and I need a goal. Uh-huh. And I just got my pot off and I was like hobbling about. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be playing rugby for another 12 months. So I need to do something else. So I thought, this bodybuilding show. So I phoned them up and they said, would you like to come up to Newcastle for an audition?
Because
it was televised. So I've shot up to Newcastle. And I went through the audition, and there was about 2,000 apply for it, and I got through, and I got on the show, and I went from 14 stone to 11 stone 11,
uh-huh.
Natural bodybuilding, and won my class in the Central Britain, which qualified me for Mr. Britain,
okay.
And Sky Television filmed us for 12 weeks preparing. For the event, which was, it was hard, very difficult. Not a lot of carbohydrates, obviously that affects you mentally.
Does it?
There's a massive knock-on effect on your thoughts, yeah.
Did it affect your psychicness?
Pardon?
Did it affect your psychic abilities?
You know, I spent a lot of time chilling out and meditating, because it was quite stressful. I found it quite stressful reducing the carbohydrates, and which, you know, it's a known fact, you know, it has an effect on your cognitive, reducing carbohydrates. But
yeah.
I was linking to spirit a lot. And again, you know, I was very, very guided and very supportive with spirit through the 12-week experience I had with the show. I think it was called Body Spectacular. I think it's still shown, actually, every now and again on Home and Health.
Is it?
Yeah.
And yeah, you've also got a video on your website.
Yeah, there is a video of me doing some... Well, it was connected to the Body Spectacular, actually. I think that's going to get revamped, and I think the actual routine eventually, what I've completed, will be actually on the website. So I'll just give you a little bit more of an insight to actually what happened on the day. It was, again, it was a very good experience. It did teach me a lot about nutrition. It taught me a lot about control, about balance. Yeah, it was an experience. Another experience, you know, which was difficult, but learned a lot from it. Very educational, and took a lot from it. I mean, all our experiences in life, you know, we can either take something from it or not, you know, and repeat things what maybe don't need repeating, or take something to help you forward and become, you know, become, I don't know, better within yourself. Right. I want to say that because that's what I'm about, really. I'm very much into personal and self-development, you know, creating a better John, if you like.
Sure. That's great. And we'll just go over your upcoming events again. I know there's some on your website. You have one this weekend in York, is it?
I've got York on Sunday evening, and that's at the Spritzley Centre in York on Sunday evening. And I'm at Nottingham, Westbridgeford Church tomorrow evening. In fact, I've got next week off. Then I'll be full on again after that every weekend. And there's a couple of events midweek as well, some charity events, what we're doing back in Lincoln to raise some money for the horse societies and other charities what we support raising funds for, really.
That's excellent. Is there any last minute words of wisdom you'd like to give to the listeners as far as...
Words of wisdom.
Anything, really. Making.
Yeah, absolutely. You can, you know, you just got to believe, you know, what you want in life and, you know, believe that you can have what you want. You've got to believe that, you know, you can pull it into your reality. And I have a little mind skill that I do. When I'm feeling a little bit low ebb, you know, I'm just aware that that feeling is just telling me that I need to be thinking something differently. So I tend to think about what I want rather than what I don't want. Because if I think about what I want, it makes me feel completely different. Because if I stay in that energy of thinking about what I don't want, you know, it's not a nice vibe. So think about what you want rather than what you don't want.
And stay positive.
Positive, because on the law of attraction, think about what you want, believe it, it will come back to you.
There's a video that somebody gave us, I think it was called The Secret.
Absolutely.
It's about the law of attraction.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
Very, very, very good.
Is it?
Very good, yeah. It's by Rhonda Burns. And there's a video and there's a book and it's on audio as well. And it's absolutely fantastic. It's again, it's very metaphysical, creating your own reality and that we're in a thought-driven world and your thoughts produce your reality. And, you know, and there's a guy on there called Joe Vitale and he has an offspring from that called The Missing Secret and he actually teaches you the mind skills to actually think, and so that allows you to create what you want to have in your life. It takes you that little bit further and actually breaks it down and shows you the process of creating your reality. And it's so basic and so simple, but it just keeps you in that, you know, that positive state of thinking about what you want rather than what you don't want.
That's what it boils down to, doesn't it?
Pardon?
That's what it boils down to, is staying positive.
If you, that's right. Yeah.
You know, I think one of the examples, it said that, you know, if you think you're going to, just for an example, if you think you're going to be late or you're driving and you're worried about being late, you're going to be late because that's your way of thinking.
But you will. The tractor will appear. You'll be in a traffic jam.
Yeah.
I've been there, haven't it? I've been late. I think, oh, I'm going to be late, and it's all there, isn't it? You run out of petrol, you know, it's late in the morning when you get up, oh, I'm rushing about, I'm going to be late, I'm going to have a bad day. You trip over the dog, don't you?
Yeah, and then it happens.
You're toast. You get to work, you know. You forgot you've got a client. You know, if you get up, it's just there. We just put, you know, we'll put our stumbling blocks in front of ourselves.
And they said that some of the most successful people know what the secret is, and it's just thinking positive, basically, is what it boils down to.
That's right. And, you know, and that's over generations, and that's gone over years and years and years. And they name quite a number of people, very influential people as well.
Right.
They believe on you know, the secret of, you know, it's from thought. Think about what you want, and you create what you want.
Sure.
Happy, health, wealth. You know, it's, you can have what you want. It's like material. You know, people say, "Oh, you're being materialistic," and that. You know, if somebody's getting something from that and it's serving them a purpose and they're having fulfillment and enjoyment in life, why not?
Yeah.
If you want to go sit on a mountain and meditate all day and you're getting fulfillment and enjoyment from that, that's okay as well, because it's about your choices as an individual. It's your life experience. It's your journey.
Exactly.
It's up to you what you want to have in life.
Exactly. Excellent words of wisdom. Our hour's up already, John. It's gone by really quick.
That has gone very fast.
We've really enjoyed having you on. I know our listeners have enjoyed it. And hopefully we can have you back someday, and we'd love to hook up with you and go on a paranormal investigation.
I would really look forward to that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and I'll talk to Angus about it.
Okay, that would be great.
We can set something up. But thanks again for coming on, and sorry we had to postpone before, but we're glad that you could make it back.
Thank you very much.
And everybody listening, be sure and stay tuned next Friday night. We have Dr. Ed Kraft, the original anomalist. He's going to be on for 2 hours from 9 to 11. And tonight, we're going to wrap it up. We've been talking to medium John Wadham. His website, once again, www.mediumwadham.com. And John, once again, thanks so much for being on the show with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on Para-X Radio. Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
When a child is abducted, every second counts. That's why this station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System, helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet Broadcasting Community and this station.